Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity to know you and to be in fellowship with you. And yes, we pray that we would indeed be right where you want us to be, and that this morning we would hear your voice as we again open our Bibles to a passage of Scripture that you have preserved for us. And so please take this passage and speak to our hearts. Lord, we are needy people, and we thank you that you are sufficient and that you truly are all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we again open the Bible this morning to Joshua, this Old Testament book. I hope you have enjoyed it so far. We're getting close to the end, and I wasn't sure whether we would be going all the way through it when I started out, but we just couldn't stop. There's just so much there for us to ponder, to think about, to life lessons for you and I. And so anyway, if you missed some of them along the way, please know that they're there for your listening, either on the website, or you can always request a CD or a DVD. Anyway, today we opened to Joshua chapter 23. It's where we left off last Sunday. And I'm just going to go ahead and read the text here, and then we'll draw some life lessons from this part of the word. Joshua 23, verse 1. Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies around about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said to them, I'm old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, so that you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. By the way, does it sound familiar at this point? It sure does, doesn't it? If you were a part of the study from the get-go, then you will recognize some of that from the very beginning in Joshua. So be very courageous. Keep all to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations. These who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. And by the way, that's been a key theme throughout as well. The consistent call to love the Lord. And what does that encompass and what does that look like? That's what we want to continue to hear. Or else, verse 12, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. That's another key theme, by the way. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But the faithfulness of God. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and have bowed down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. I don't know if you ever attended a function where there was a farewell address that was given by somebody. It may have been somebody that was moving to another community. And these farewell addresses may have been formal, or they may have been very informal, you know, and somebody was just sharing and sharing their heart before moving on. It may have been, you know, somebody that was retiring, or it may have been someone that was calling it quits after years of serving on a particular, in a place of leadership or an association or an organization that you were a part of or whatever. It may have been also somebody that was dying. And perhaps you were part of the group that gathered around to listen carefully to what was being said as a farewell, if you will. The scriptures I just read is considered to be Joshua's farewell address. He's been in leadership for a significant period of time. He is getting older. He is advanced in years. He knows that the end is approaching, and he has some very important things to say. What Joshua told the children of Israel are things that you and I would do well to make note of, to heed, to hear, to think about, to appropriate to our own lives this morning. To help us ponder this address, let me use three summary statements. Remember what God has done. And I would say what he is doing in the present as well. Be careful. Be careful about the snares and the traps around you. And then don't miss out. Don't miss out on the tremendous blessings that God has for people who walk in his ways. So let's start with that first one. Remember what God has done and is doing. Notice again verse 3. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. And also in verse 9, for the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. So tell me, what happens when you pull out those photo albums? I don't think we have gone to all digital, have we? You still have some photo albums at your house? So what happens when you pull out one of those old photo albums and you start flipping through some of those pages? Diane and I might say, "Aw, wasn't Kathy a cutie when she used to sit in that laundry basket? Wasn't that something when we drove that 1969 Ford LTD? It was like a big ship, a Hummer. Can you believe we had that teeny little kitchen in our first upstairs apartment there? You could barely walk through it and turn around. But not only is there a sense of nostalgia in flipping through those albums, but if you've known the Lord, then there's also a sense, I believe, of amazement at the faithfulness of God. So we look at pictures of Kathy when she was little, and we can't help but ponder and to think the incredible thing that God did in our case, making it possible to bring her into our home at day 5. In our case, looking at pictures of cars we used to drive reminds us of God's protection. Now, it wasn't in the Ford LTD. Does anybody here remember the Dodge Omni? Okay. Did you drive one? Oh, my goodness. It was a little tin box on wheels, wasn't it? Okay, so here we are on a Saturday morning. I was actually supposed to be speaking at the Dutch Valley restaurant, and we were driving from Coushocton, and it was a wintry morning. It was still dark out, and there was some ice under that light coat of snow. And so we started sliding to the right and then slid to the left. And then we were going over the embankment. And then we turned over. And then we landed right side up in the bottom of the ravine. And then we walked out of there. We did. Yeah, I helped pull you up out of there with your heels on and everything. Probably because of the adrenaline, she would say, this crazy guy. I saw that the interior light was on. I didn't want to drain the battery, so I went back down there to make sure the door was shut. How stupid was that? And then I could barely get back up. But anyway, nothing but some stiffness and soreness for several days. Wow. In our case, looking at pictures of that small apartment reminds us of the wonderful way that God provided for our well-being. At that point in time, we didn't have a lot of money. It was early in our careers and all of that, and didn't have a lot of money. And we were just weeks before the wedding, and we were trying to figure out where we were going to live. And we had looked at some options, some things that were listed in the newspapers and so on, and we had actually gone through one apartment that we were considering, perhaps, possibly. And then the guy called, forget what day he called, but he wanted us, he said that there's some other folks interested, and he wanted us to come over on Sunday and to sign a lease or a contract or whatever it involved, and to, was there, did we have to put it down to deposit? Probably. Well, we opted not to do that because it was the Lord's Day, and yet at the same time thought, the clock is ticking, and it was just days after that we found out about this small apartment. I told you it was actually a duplex, upstairs duplex, and we went over and looked through it. And then we were curious how much this gentleman wanted. Everett Kistner, the old gentleman, lived next door to the duplex. And then he looked at us and said, well, would $80 a month be too much? And you could have knocked me over with a feather. $80 a month. Now, mind you, sometime later, he did raise the rent to $90. But you see, we, like the Israelites, need to remember what the Lord has done. Why? Because it will remind us of God's faithfulness, and it will remind us of his ability to take care of us. Here's what Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. We look back, not that we might live in the past, but we look back so that we might look ahead with confidence. We remember what God has done in the past, that we might find renewed encouragement and strength as we move into the future. Remember what God has done. The second summary statement related to Joshua's farewell address is this. Be careful about the snares and traps around you. Now, I'd already noted that Joshua was calling the people's attention to some things that he had actually earlier, as he had come into leadership, been challenged with, and in turn had challenged the people with. He said in verse 6, "Be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left." Isn't it true that for most of us, at least, it's pretty easy for us to get distracted? Don't you ever go online? You're going to check your email, but then there's something there that catches your attention, right? And, oh, you just got to check that out. You got to see what's happening with that. And, you know, there we go. Or you go uptown, same kind of thing, to pick up something specific, and there are all sorts of things that jump out at you that intrigue you. Things can so easily sidetrack us. Joshua told people not to turn to the right or to the left, and then he explained in verse 7, "Lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them." It was an interesting conversation just this past week. As a person from the local community, attends a church in our community, different denomination and so on, but he was really saddened as he was talking to me and saying that it just seems like so many of the younger folks are not attending church these days, and that there are other things that are catching their interest and attention and so on and so forth. And too often we think of gods as being literal kind of statues or icons or something that somebody might actually bow down to. But gods with a small g can be anything, anything that takes the place of a person truly following Jesus and staying in tune with him. It could be anything that draws our heart away from truly and fully loving the Lord. Now, Joshua got even more specific with this entire matter as he cautioned the people regarding pitfalls in their relationship with the Lord. So notice again what he said in verses 11, 12, and 13. "Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you and make marriages with them and go into them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from you, but they shall be snares and traps and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you." Now, what Joshua was concerned about and what he was bringing before the people was not unique to his generation at all. We read similar exhortations in other places in Scripture, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, for example, in writing to the church at Corinth, said, this is 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 16, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." He said, "For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" And then he said, he wanted the people to realize something very important. He said, "You are the temple of God. We are the church. Those of us that know Christ. And we are the temple of Christ, the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit." Both Joshua and Paul had a concern about a person of faith wanting to get married to an individual that was not a person of faith. And in our day, we would refer to it as a Christian wanting to get married to a non-Christian. And part of that has, there's actually a couple of different things at play there. One has to do with the entire spiritual disconnect, because they're actually on two different tracks, or on opposites, if you will. They don't have the same values. They don't have the same goals. They don't have the same perspective on life. They don't have the same convictions. They don't have the same relationship with the Lord. And but there's also some practical things when it just does not work, practically speaking, in light of all of these differences. And so it's a pitfall, to use some of the language here in our text, for a follower of Jesus to get romantically involved with someone that is not a follower of Jesus, because time and time again, there ends up being compromise and a lowering of standards and an erosion of one's commitment to Christ. We hear a lot these days about people trying to scam us. They're trying to scam us financially. You know, the calls, the computer locks up and until you call a number and you promise to pay them $1 zillion, and it's all a big scam and these kind of things. I'm sure there were scam artists in Joshua's day too. But what Joshua was primarily concerned about was not a financial scam. He was concerned about the snares and the traps that would affect a person spiritually. So, remember what God has done, how faithful He is. Then also be careful regarding the snares and traps around you. Now, the third thing emerges out of Joshua's farewell address is this. It's don't miss out on the blessings. Don't miss out on the blessings that can be yours. So in verse 14, Joshua was reminding the people that not one good thing failed of all that he had spoken concerning them. Everything came to pass. Not one word from the Lord failed to materialize. The people had reaped incredible blessings. And then Joshua went on to say this in verses 15 and 16. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things that have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land, which the Lord your God has given you, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. It seems to me that one of the saddest things is for a person, a people, for anyone to miss out on good things that could have been theirs. It could have been theirs. But that's what happens when a person breaks their covenant with the Lord. That's what happens when a person begins to chase after other gods, gods with a small g. When a person no longer honors the Lord. Brother Jim, you were using the scripture about honoring the Lord with your possessions. So there is that call to honor the Lord. As followers of Jesus, you and I are incredibly blessed. Think again about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That is loaded. And sometimes we don't even understand fully or appreciate fully how wonderfully and incredibly blessed we are and can be. Wow, I'm glad that's so big on the screen. It needs to be big in our minds and in our hearts. Let's say it together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So it doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 3 months, 3 years, 30 years. If you look back, you're going to certainly recognize how the Lord has been faithful to you. And as we consider Joshua's address, the question becomes, will you and I remain faithful to the Lord then? Will we respond to his faithfulness to us? Will we continue to walk with the Lord, thereby experiencing these blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ? Will we experience those in our lives? Those things that could be and rightfully are ours as believers. Will we continue to honor the Lord, thereby experiencing his hand upon us? Rather than missing out on the good things of the Lord, let's continue to walk in his ways and be a part of what he has for us, part of his good and perfect and acceptable will for our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for who you are and for how you have invited us into your very family. Thank you for the opportunities that you have brought before us to know you, to serve you, to love you, to live for you, to be used of you. Lord, may you continue to have your hand upon us. May you continue to guide us and to direct our steps. And may we continue to be your disciples indeed. May we continue to honor you and praise you. And may you truly be our vision. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand.